the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You may or may not have noticed it, but America's population is aging. Funny that. As it does age, more time is going to be spent doing retirement studies because people in government, people in insurance, businesses, and others want to know what retirement looks like for the baby boomers in the years ahead. 10,000 baby boomers are retiring every day. I mean, you have to realize what this number means. The people who are 65 or older will grow by 20% over the next decade. People are living longer. They're working longer. They're living more healthily longer. In other words, this was a generation that began to watch its health as it got older. And many studies show that there is a lack of planning for retirement and a lack of adequate income to last for retirement among these people who have watched their health all the way up and are going to live much longer because of it. There is a new study by the American College New York Center for Retirement Income in conjunction with New York Life, and it talks about retirement income literacy. And one of the things it points out is that there is a big gap between income literacy as far as retirement is concerned between men and women. So this is important that you pay close attention to this study, especially if you're a single woman and you're planning for retirement.
You know, this was rather interesting. They've done a number of surveys that we have covered here on the program. There's been different foundations from the Kaiser Foundation and various financial entities that have looked at this, and more people are paying attention to it. What the American College did, and they specialize, there's a designation now that they have in retirement planning, and they really wanted to take a look at why do we have this problem out there, whether it's issues with income, whether it's issues with long-term care. And so they put together a questionnaire, and it was 38 questions. It covered just about everything that you would want to know for retirement. We'll get into some of the issues of the questionnaire, as well as some individual questions themselves. And they wanted to say, all right, if you are pre-retired or near retirement, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions. Everything from Social Security to investment markets to estate planning, all the things that you would want to know, in things like company benefit plans. You have a job, you go to work, you have benefits at the company. It's surprising how many people aren't fully aware of the benefits they have available to them or what their options are. Now, the survey was done between February 16th and March 1st of this year, and it was done with a 20-minute phone call. There were roughly 1,244 respondents. The breakup in demographics, it was about 50% men, 50% women, and it was between the ages of 60 and 75. Also, qualification, you had to have $100,000 of assets. And they also took a look at not only age, education, but also asset levels. Now, what was interesting in looking at some of the demographics of this survey, as I mentioned, 50-50 between men and women, 39% of the respondents were between ages 60 to 64, 34% were between ages 65 and 69, and 26% over age 70 to 75. Now, what's interesting is 80% of those that were interviewed were married. 20% were either divorced, widowed, single, never married, or not married but living with the partner. So about 80% of the respondents were mainly married couples. They also took a look at education in the survey. About close to 70% of those interviewed had some kind of either college, graduate school, a college degree, master's degree, or a higher education. So education was also a factor. They took a look at also income brackets, and roughly about 25% of those responding to this survey had investments between $100,000 and $200,000, about 19% between $200,000 and $300,000, 16% $300,000 to 500, 17% between 500 and a million, and roughly a little over 22% had assets more than $1 million. So as you can see here, it was a very broad survey because they wanted to capture, all right, those that were heading into retirement, let's say maybe 4 or 5 years away, so hence the age 60, and then those that were actually in retirement, maybe been there for a while, and those that were also into retirement for several years, somebody in their 70s.
Well, it would be interesting now, since this is talking about financial literacy, and I'm assuming it has a slant to do with retirement, what was the outcome of the survey?
This, you're going to find amazing. The pass rate, meaning grading just like a test if you were a student, 35% of the men passed, meaning 65% failed, with women, only 17% of women passed or had a passing score. The pass scores were higher based on wealth. If you had $1 million or more, you had a 49% pass rate. Between 100 and 299, you only had a 13% pass rate. Education also played a factor. Without a college education, there was only a 9% pass rate. With college, there was a 40% pass rate.
Let me interrupt you here because this statistic is really, I don't want to use the word shocking. It's disconcerting. That's the word I'm looking for. Because if you realize that, 65% of men failed, 83% of women, that's a huge part of the population that are not dealing with this.
What was really surprising here is women did significantly worse when it came to retirement income literacy. And what it shows is women showed that they had lower levels of what they call self-perceived knowledge when it came to either retirement income or retirement issues. As one might expect, women were more cautious or more risk adverse than their husbands. And also, women were more concerned about retirement risk. For example, at the top of the concern for women were cuts to Social Security, which is amazing, John, because 85% of survivors on Social Security are women. And that's why we mentioned earlier, as we began this podcast, that if you're a woman or you're married, pay close attention to this because you're more likely to end up being a widow and a survivor when it comes to Social Security. But as we talked on this program, John, in 2015, this is the number one issue for women is Social Security and Medicare because they tend to live longer. They're the survivors. And Congress snuck through the door in 2015, a issue that really went to help women and level the gap. And that was when they got rid of the file and suspend. Now, if you're not familiar with that, as a woman, what it used to be is, let's say your husband wanted his policy or his Social Security benefits to grow when he reached full retirement age at 66. So if he didn't touch it for, let's say, to age 70, it would grow 8% a year, which means you, as a spouse or wife, would end up upon his death receiving his Social Security, which would be a larger amount. What would happen is the husband would file for Social Security and he would do something called file and suspend. And what would happen is you, the wife, would get 50% of his Social Security benefits, even though he wasn't receiving them. And then what would happen? His would grow at 8% a year to age 70, at which time he would take it. And at age 70, the wife would have the choice of either one, taking her own Social Security benefits, which would be growing at 8% a year, or simply stay on her husband's one half Social Security benefit. And that was done to help women who, on average, remain out of the workforce for 13 years. Most people in a working career will spend 40 years contributing to Social Security. Women, on average, will spend 13 of those years out of the workforce having children. So as a result, women's income is much lower. So these provisions were put in to protect women, and both parties including President Barack Obama, snuck this under the door with the Budget Reconciliation Act that they had because the Disability Trust Fund was out of money and they needed to pull money out of somewhere. And this was basically an additional tax. And I find it rather ironic because in this survey, the number one concern for women, because they realize, I mean, if you're a widow right now, you probably took your husband's Social Security and you gave up yours. So this is an issue. You probably have friends that are in a similar situation and you talk aloud about this. But it was interesting. That was the number one concern. And here was an issue that affected women in Congress, snuck this through the door and really put women once again at a disadvantage. And that's why it's even more important when you're planning for retirement that the wife is involved with the husband. If you're working with an advisor, that you plan for these issues of income, because chances are you as a woman are going to be the survivor.
You know, in all the years I've been covering Congress, the one thing I've noticed is when they name a bill something, they're usually doing just the opposite, you know, when they're trying to sneak something through. And quite frequently, they'll offer you this big handout in one hand, while with the other hand, they're taking even more away, but you're not watching. And of course, the media don't really apprise the people of that. So, I mean, they managed to get this one through. All right, let's go back to the subject of low literacy rates. What's the impact of these? Because it would seem like if people have low literacy, they're not taking actions which they should be taking.
Before I get to that, I just want to comment on your comment, John, because we covered this on the show. There's a bill called the Enhanced Retirement Security Act. And of course, enhanced is a good word. It sounds like, it's going to be better for retirement. And what they're really going to do is they're going to come after IRA beneficiaries and tax them at a much higher rate. In other words, when somebody inherits an IRA, let's say the wife passes away, the IRA goes to the children are going to have to take out the IRA over 5 years and be taxed at a much higher rate. Now, if you're going to inherit a substantial sum of money, you can imagine what that's going to do to your tax bracket. But that's in a new bill that is before it just got out of the Senate. It was passed 26-0. So it'll become part of a bill that they're working on now called the Enhanced Retirement Security Act, which is the word enhanced means the government is going to get more tax revenues. Now, let's get back to the study itself and the impact of low literacy rates. Number one, the result of the survey is women require more financial education. There's a greater need on the part of women to be involved in increased planning because throughout their lifetime, women are, number one, most likely going to outlive their husbands. They have a longer lifespan, 3 to 4 years above their mates. The other thing as well is they have lower income, either due to the position that you've taken or the position of your husband or the fact that you were out of the workforce for so many years having children, your income's lower, hence your Social Security benefits. The other thing that comes in as a result of better health, living longer, and just, you know, the statistics, women living longer than men, women are going to have a greater need covering long-term care because they're more likely than men to end up in a long-term care facility. The other thing with statistics, they are more likely to experience widowhood. So the gist of all of this is men, as we have our society today, and it's just the way it is, tend to be the financial decision makers in the family. Women, which was surprising in the survey, saw themselves involved in household decisions, but yet it was the man who made the decision. And why it's very important, especially if you're working with an advisor, to bring the wife into the mix and apprise the husband and the wife of what are the decisions and the consequences of making those decisions of either retirement early, taking retirement annuity options if your company offers you a pension plan. For example, you have the option to either take an annuity payment based on your life and that of your wife or a lump sum payment in, let's say, rolling it over to an IRA. Now, there are consequences of that. And these are the kind of things that have to be explored. And through the survey questions, a lot of these questions that you would think people would be aware of. For example, you know, what are the benefits I'm going to have working for the company when I retire? Do I get an annuity option? If I do, what are the options and what are the income possibilities? Or would I be better off rolling it over to an IRA? Or would I be better off, for example, taking part of it, rolling it over to an IRA, taking part of it as an annuity option, and then deferring my Social Security to age 70 to have more income, which obviously would put the surviving spouse, in most cases, which is going to be the wife, in a better income position for retirement. So, John, this is just a sample of the impact of a lot of the survey options and the survey results in terms of lack of understanding and education when it came to retirement.
Well, this is a key point here, and this is nothing new to listeners of the program here, but when you do prepare for retirement, there are big decisions. There are some big emotional decisions as well as logistical ones, but moving past those, they're not the subject of conversation here. Do you take Social Security? Do you defer it possibly and let it build up more until later on when you think you need it a little bit later because you have other sources of income? And what about corporate pension options? How about long-term care? Do you already have a policy or can you take one out at the time that you retire? There's a whole slate. It's almost like a checklist you need to go down in order to make some pretty good decisions here.
Yeah, it was really amazing too, because when you think back, 74% of the respondents failed the survey. And here's the more remarkable one. Only 5% of the respondents got a score of B or more. The average score was 47%, with men passing 28 out of 38 correct, women 16 out of the 38 correct. So, you know, when you have a test, only 35% of the men pass, 17 to 18% of the women pass. Now, here's the thing that they also found. Individuals with $1 million or more scored better. This one, I was really surprised. Individuals with financial advisors had lower literacy levels, and it may be they might have turned over a lot of those responsibilities to their advisor in terms of making the decisions. The other thing that you would suspect is individuals with obviously higher levels of education scored much better in terms of pass rates. Women, which was really surprising, have a very heightened financial concerns, and almost there were seven categories that they ran through, everything from retirement, company benefits, Social Security, Medicare, long-term care. And what was surprising, John, if you were to think of women as investors, would you categorize them as risk takers, moderate, non-risk takers, if you had to guess?
I'm going to guess women are more conservative. That would be my guess.
Absolutely. In all categories of investment, women were cautious. They were very conservative, where a high level of risk taking among men. And this is one of the issues sometimes you get into when you're doing a retirement plan. We run into this issue all the time. Let's say the wife says, you know what? I don't want to take a lot of risk. We're 60. You know, I'm more likely to outlive you. So I want us to be cautious. And here's the thing in terms of being cautious for women. Given the fact that women will outlive men, they need to be a little less cautious. In other words, they need to have more money in the stock market to make sure they're going to have the income and cover inflation going forward, because they will live longer and they'll have a greater need for it due to higher medical expenses and long-term care expenses. But as the survey pointed out, it was men that were the risk takers.
And that's nothing that can't be cured, Jim, by some estrogen shots for men. That reduces their risk-taking, see?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the men listening to this would sure go along with that.
Probably not. What were the categories that were covered in the survey? I'm assuming investments are going to be one. Social Security's obviously got to be part of it. What else?
It's a broad spectrum. Strategies for sustaining income throughout retirement, which is very important. You retire at age 65. You know, what's your income going to be at age 85? How long will you live? Life expectancy, use of life insurance and retirement planning, annuities, taxes in terms of retirement security, inflation, housing, Medicare insurance planning, paying for long-term care, investment considerations, Social Security, and company retirement plans. So you can see it was pretty comprehensive. The number one areas of high concern for both men and women, cost of health care was at the top of the list. It was between 45 and almost 52% of those responding was a number one concern of theirs. Number two were cuts to Social Security. Now, this is interesting, John, because here we are talking about Social Security. And if you've been listening to this program, there have been a number of studies done every single year. The Social Security Department, the trustees, release a study in terms of the solvency of Social Security. And one of the issues, which we're not talking about right now politically, is it runs out of money by the year 2028 or 2030, depending on whose survey you're looking at, which means at that point, Social Security would only be able to pay out roughly about 75% of the benefits promised. So cuts to Social Security range from 33 to 51%. Inflation and its impact, a little bit lower on the totem pole, 21 to 24%. Now, here's the amazing one. Given the fact that cuts in Social Security income, lack of investment, and running out of money was only 16 to 15% concern, John. And that's exactly what we're seeing more and more in a lot of these surveys that are done. A lot of individuals end up running out of money because, number one, they live longer. Their assets did not carry them through retirement. Three, we're dealing with probably the lowest interest rates in recorded human history. So as a saver and maybe as a cautious investor, you're simply not getting the investment returns that you once used to get. I mean, 17 years ago, you could have got 7 or 8%, no problem, in a safe investment from CDs to government securities. No way you could get that today. You're lucky if you can get between 1.5% to 2.5%. So it was really surprising that running out of money, given the lack of literacy, and I think this is a reflection of that lack of literacy, not understanding the implications of medical cost, inflation, low investment returns, and also life expectancy and long-term care cost. And so that's why it was probably down at the bottom of the list.
Now what I'm curious about is, okay, we get to the end of the survey, we look at the survey, and people go, oh my, what were the takeaway items? And then did they have any action items attached?
Well, the takeaway items, women demonstrated significantly lower literacy rates than men. And that's really an important factor here. So what it's telling the financial industry and should tell our listeners is it's really important as a husband, you bring your wife in on the decision-making process in terms of how the decisions are going to be made, how they will impact both of you, whether it's Social Security, retirement benefits, or even investment strategies, and also the greater need for education when it comes to women. Number two, women reported lower perceived knowledge on retirement planning. They were basically willing to admit, hey, I don't really understand or have a lot of knowledge about this area. So once again, this reinforces that issue of being well educated. Number three, women believe they shared in the financial decisions, even though the men would respond that they were the main decision maker. And we see this so often, John. It's one of the things that we have to wrestle with many times doing a financial plan or retirement plan is basically getting both spouses to agree, because you might have the woman come in and say, you know what? We haven't done that well. I can remember what happened to us during the financial crisis, and I don't want to go through that again. So you have to get this reconciliation between the wife, who might be a little bit more cautious investor, and the husband, who might be a little bit more free thinking about risk taking. So you have to bring the women up and say, look, you're likely to be the survivor here. So we do have to have some kind of growth in this portfolio, or you're going to be in trouble down the road. So that was a reinforcing issue. Also, women showed a heightened level about retirement risk, but they were not prepared for it. So that was an issue. 5, women are concerned about health care. And right at the top of the list were cuts to Social Security, because women know that, for example, if their husbands pass away, they could take their husband's Social Security and they lose theirs. And as we have pointed out here on the program, with not only experts from Social Security and from the Department of Social Security, 85% of the survivors on Social Security are women. So that kind of feeds into what women perceive. I mean, if you're living in a retirement community and you're a widow, look around you. What do you see? You see a lot of other widows. So it's no strange coincidence that women are really concerned about that. Women want different things from also their financial advisors. They're more, I guess, want to be educated. They admit that they don't have the knowledge. Maybe they didn't participate as much, or maybe were just too busy or not interested, but they want that extra knowledge from their advisors to say, hey, educate me. Help me figure this out. Help me understand this. And once again, women tend to be overall more conservative investors. So sometimes as an advisor, you're going to have to say, look, you're age 65 right now. You're likely to live another 20 years or 30 years. What are we going to do for income 10, 20, 30 years from now if we don't have something in the portfolio that's going to be going up to allow you to enjoy the same lifestyle as you are today 15, 20, 30 years from now? And more importantly, 10, 15, 20 years from now is when you're more likely to be hit with the higher cost of retirement due to medical costs. As we have talked here a number of years, last year, I think, according to the Fidelity survey, $245,000 of out-of-pocket expenses for a husband and wife during their lifetime in retirement. That went up this year to $260,000, meaning you will shell out $260,000. If you take 25 years of retirement, that's almost like 10 or 12 grand a year. So you better be putting money aside into a special bucket to pay for those retirement years, because those medical expenses do begin to hit you, especially when you get into your 70s, latter 70s, 80s, and 90s, and God forbid, you need long-term health care.
You know, it's accounting for why a lot of people go broke because they don't plan and they sort of plow into it, or they're relying on government issues such as Social Security. But like you mentioned, in about another 10 years, the whole thing runs out of money. And right now it's already crossed the Rubicon of laying out, or it's crossing it approximately, laying out more than it's bringing in. And so you have those issues. Then you have other programs were being guaranteed in the area of, say, for example, the Affordable Health Care Act, Obamacare. And whether or not we ever get that repealed, changed, that remains to be seen. So there's a big question mark in the deck right there. But we know that's not going to be sustainable. So everything that people are looking towards in terms of social programs are simply not going to be there, you know, and they have to anticipate this.
If they are there, if they do survive, they're going to be surviving in diminished form. And as anybody that's been on Medicare recently, as a result of the passage of Obamacare, you've seen, depending on your income, you could be paying 4 times as much for your Medicare. You've seen your premiums. If you're in that 30% group that is over 70, I think, what's the figure, $77,000, you've seen your medical premiums go up anywhere from 22 to 25% for Medicare. And so you're already seeing the impact of this, and they're looking for more money. As we covered last week, they're going to start taxing IRA beneficiaries at much higher rates, forcing the beneficiaries to take out all the IRA over a 5-year period versus their lifetime at much lower bracket. So, John, they're moving in that direction, which is the gist of this study is you better have a retirement plan. And it's very important, if you're putting together a retirement plan, that both spouses participate and that you educate your spouse, especially women, because husbands, they're more likely to survive you.
Well, I'm sure that we're not going to hear the last of that on today's program. There are going to be more and more of these studies coming out, and the need for planning will be there. As government spending gets more critical in this area, then you're going to hear a lot more of it as well, because I think we're going to hear more and more government will be saying, well, sorry, but you're sort of on your own, despite what it was we said. So that is one of the reasons why you should plan for something involving your own personal real life. Coming up tomorrow on the show, by the way, Chris Hennessy is our guest, specialist on tax reform. Who are going to be the winners and losers? This, quite often when they talk about tax reform, Jim, is nothing but a shell game, moving things around, giving a little here, taking a little there. But it tends to be more taking than giving, ultimately, when it's all done. Okay, time for our real-life case study. Remember that this is an hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed, and we do have slides online at financialsense.com illustrating the points which Jim is making during this program. So who are Mr. and Mrs. Hypothetical this week?
This week we have Doug and Sierra Thompson. Doug is age 64. Sierra is age 55. Doug retired unexpectedly, and Sierra would like to retire soon. Given their health questionnaires, Doug, life expectancy of age 83. Sierra would expect to live to age 89. Risk tolerance was basically moderately conservative. Their investment objectives were growth and income. To give you a little color, Doug has managed all his family finances for the last 30 years. He's a project manager for a major Fortune 500 company. He's handled all the aspects of their financial life and has also managed their investments, which have remained diversified among four different investment firms. Now, from a young age, Doug was taught not to discuss finances with anyone. I used to run into a lot of this when I first got into the business, especially with the World War II generation. It was like the husband made the decisions. You didn't talk to your kids and your spouses. You just made the decisions. But at age 64, this is something he has continued to practice his entire life. However, for the first time, he feels like he needs some help due to a forced and unexpected retirement upon the discovery of a heart problem followed by a surgery. Since then, his doctor has suggested he retire due to the long hours and the high stress associated to his job. Basically, his doctor said, you don't get out of this job, you're not going to live long. And so Doug was forced into early retirement due to health issues. Sierra, on the other hand, she's age 55, so there's almost a 10-year difference between them. She's a real estate agent. She's feeling a little bit overwhelmed with all that has happened recently. I mean, you know, you go on in life, you think you're going to work to a certain age, you're going to get these benefits and all these other things happen. Then all of a sudden, a health issue springs out of the blue and all of a sudden your whole retirement picture changes dramatically and sometimes can change overnight. I mean, she had to deal with figure out exactly what bills to pay while her husband remained in the hospital. She was even a couple days late on a few of their credit card payments, which only elevated her stress levels. In addition, Sierra has never been involved in making financial decisions because that was mainly Doug's department. But now, you know, she was having to be brought into the picture, especially with the health scare, revealed to her just how unprepared she was to manage their finances should she end up doing so alone. And so much so that it pushed her finally to seek professional help, which is where we came in. Important issues to Sierra and Doug, educating Sierra about managing finances should she end up taking over. In fact, she ended up paying the bills while Doug was recovering from open heart surgery. Maintaining lifestyle, not outliving assets, which is a main concern, which was interesting in the survey that we did. Outliving assets was not a concern. It was at the bottom of the list. Obviously, with Doug and Sierra, it was a major concern. On the risk scale, they came in at a risk level of 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, so kind of moderate. Their portfolio was a 7, so right in there. Their budget was $65,000 for essentials, $36,000 discretionary, a total of $101,000. Doug and Sierra's Social Security at full retirement age would be $48,000. So given their expense level, they would have a shortfall of $53,000. If you take a look at where they are right now, their total spending was roughly about $105,000. Doug's salary before he had to quit was $98,000. Sierra's basically was bringing in roughly an average little over $60,000 a year. They had a surplus of $55,000. And a lot of that went on to basically putting money aside for retirement. So if we look at their assets, their primary residence was $630,000. The great thing about it was free and clear. So that put them in a pretty good position. Doug's retirement was $860,000. Sierra's retirement was $352,000. They had joint accounts about $145,000. In cash, roughly about $25,000. So total assets of about $1,004,000 that was investable. The other $600,000 was basically their house. We put them in a balanced program with an average yield of close to 3%. Total income at retirement would be $85,000. So there was still a shortfall of $15,000. Either way, we cut it. There was no way that we could safely get enough income to meet all of their goals. And so that left us with a couple choices. Number one, gradual withdrawal of principal, which, by the way, if you look at retirement studies of a 3%, 4% withdrawal rate, that is a viable solution. You may not be able to keep all your principal throughout all your retirement years. But by completing the financial plan, we wanted to educate them both that, look, you know, unfortunately, Doug, you had to retire early. Okay, so we did a couple things, but what we encouraged Sierra to do to make up that shortfall was to basically continue to work, and she would have to work because, number one, there was a 10-year difference between the two of them. So, you know, we suggested as a minimum that she work another 4 or 5 years. And so they could rely on her income to supplement the income, allow Doug to wait to age 66. And if Sierra could work even longer, defer taking his Social Security, because the longer he would defer it, the greater the level of income would be for Sierra as survivors. We had two issues here. One, a 10-year difference, almost a 10-year difference in age. And number two, the fact that Sierra, with a health issue on Doug, was more likely to be the survivor. So we recommended Sierra work for a longer period of time. We put their assets in a better allocation, and we consolidated their investments and worked with not only Sierra on the investment decisions that were being made, how the portfolio was structured, the consequence, the risk levels, the income levels that she could expect. So include her in the decision-making process so that she could basically understand what was going on in retirement. So the key here, John, was bringing Sierra into the financial decision-making process, educating her as to the consequences, especially as it came to deferment of Social Security and also the investment decisions. Because right now, I mean, you know, she ended up for a period of time, ended up paying the bills for the first time because Doug was in the hospital recovering. So this is an issue that relates very closely to the survey that we just went through. Very important when you're doing a retirement plan at any age that both spouses are involved, and especially if there's a tendency between you that one makes a decision, at least inform the other partner the consequences of those decisions and bring them into the loop in the process of making that decision. So in this case, age and health would require that Sierra not only take greater participation in the financial decisions, become more knowledgeable, but she's going to end up probably working. And I would suspect, I mean, she does enjoy doing what she's doing, and it does bring in an average of over $60,000 a year. Given her age right now, I suspect that she may even work longer than 5, and I suspect anywhere from 5 to 10 years.
Have you noticed, Jim, that when you do plan, there's almost a breath of relief, because there are always going to be some unknowns in life, but you know, the unknowns that you want to look at are, boy, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? And when you lay it out in a plan, like you've said so many times here on the show, then it takes a lot of the uncertainty out of it and you can breathe. This is important. You can breathe a sigh of relief. So that's important to recognize.
Yeah, it really is. Because the thing that really struck me about this new survey is the lack of literacy. And sometimes, you know, what's the old saying? Ignorance is bliss. Well, you know, ignorance is danger when it comes to retirement, because there's so many issues, especially for women. Social Security decisions, pension decisions, healthcare decisions, Medicare, investment decisions, as in the case we just revealed where Sierra had to come in. Doug was the decision maker. He made all the decisions, and all of a sudden, due to a severe heart problem, all of a sudden Sierra was thrown into the loop, and, you know, just like somebody thrown into a pool of cold water, it was just like a reality check. So this is one way to remove some of that uncertainty. Have yourself a plan.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, which you will not want to miss, this is what I'm going to look forward to. Chris Hennessy will be Jim's guest, specialist on tax reform winners and losers. And this is important because it does affect retirement. It affects everything else, too. But when you pull apart all of the rhetoric that you hear every night on the news, you can actually find out who's gaining and who's losing for real. So that's going to be a show that you don't want to miss. Anything else coming up that we're looking towards?
I suspect, John, there's going to be no shortage of news. I mean, they keep talking. Are they going to repeal Obamacare? I mean, the thing is collapsing in state after state, which is why some senators are reluctant to get rid of it completely, because Medicare, they're looking for federal funding. The president's talking about tax reform. He threw a zinger out this week and said basically he wants to tax higher income individuals. You know, those rates are already close to 45%. So have no idea what he has up his sleeve. But imagine we're going to be talking about a lot of things, because as we get closer to the fall and in towards the end of the year, next year starts silly season again with the midterm elections. And if the Republicans come out of this year with nothing passed on health care, tax reform, infrastructure spending, wow, is it going to be slaughterhouse at the polls come November of 2018? So I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about what's going on in Washington, but so far the market seemed to like it. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries, or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.